Kia ora koutou and welcome to another great, exciting episode of Kick Arts, Auckland's comprehensive art show, brought to you every Sunday night at the new time of 8pm. Yes, this is our second week at 8pm, and I'm pleased about that because last week after the show I went home and actually got into bed before 10. Yes, because I'm a nana. It was fantastic. I got to bed before 10 o'clock. Had a nice cup of Milo. No, I didn't have Milo because Nescafe are a bad, bad company. I had a fair trade organic chocolate drink. And it's Richard here. Great start to the show. Already made a political comment in the first 30 seconds. I hope you're all good. I hope you've had a great week in the rain. School holidays, those of you who've got children, they call it a holiday. It's not for the parent. That's all I can say. Any parents out there who've had a rough week, I feel your pain. They're back at school tomorrow. They're probably in bed by now. Sit back. Grab yourself something to drink, be it a cup of tea, a Milo, a hot chocolate, a glass of wine, a cup of tea's good on a Sunday, and listen to this amazing, 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 always amazing Kick Arts with my lovely co-host, Georgia.
That was an epic introduction.
Wasn't it, though?
I thoroughly enjoyed that.
I mean, you know what? I spent all morning scripting that.
I was about to say you could tell, but then I thought that wouldn't be a compliment. You couldn't tell, but it was as good as...
Yeah, and then I rehearsed in front of the mirror, because, you know, you've got to get the facial expressions right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, someone said to me the other day, they work in in the business of phone calling people, you know, for randomly calling to sell them stuff. You know, people I really love in my life, because they always call just as you're about to go to the toilet or have dinner or having dinner in the toilet or something. And it's like, what? And, you know, and I said, how do you do it? And he said, I just keep smiling when I'm on the phone because people can hear the smile in your voice. Hey, isn't that lovely? See, I'm smiling now. Can you hear the smile in my voice? Can you see it? Can you hear it? Feel the love, people. Feel the love. Gosh. Now there's some feeling of love going on at the moment over in the corner. I'd like to welcome to our studio Sheena and Will. Welcome.
Hello.
From The Effect. Hey?
Yes.
That's right. Welcome to Kick Arts. A long-time listener, first-time caller, perhaps, or never listened before and don't know why you're here. Now, Sheena's been on before because you reviewed it. You reviewed a show for us, didn't you?
I think I've been on about 3 times now.
You're almost a co-host.
Wow, do I get paid for that?
No, neither does Georgia. Okay. Neither do I. It's just one of those things.
An arts job and you don't get paid. That's weird.
Well, you know, that's quite shocking, eh? Because actually in the arts you get paid so much money.
I know, that's why we're all in it, right?
Right.
You're not getting paid.
Oh. Hey, you guys have this, can you have this off the mic, please? This discussion. Talk to your agent. Now, Dominion Road, what does that bring up for you, Georgia?
Oh, the song, the Don McGlashan song.
I love that song. It's kind of an inspiration for musicals. Music.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, and for musicals as well. Dominion Road, the musical, is on soon. And in the studio I have with me Sharu, kia ora.
Kia ora.
And Junbin, kia ora.
Hello.
Kia ora. Welcome. And you've actually written this, Junbin.
The songs.
The songs?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty impressive. So, do you know the Don McGlashan song?
Yes.
Is it an inspiration or did
it's
you...
It's definitely a tribute to that song. Yeah.
Oh, there's a tribute to that?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
That's a classic.
Yeah, is a classic Kiwi iconic song, really, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk to you... Now, this is not the first time the show's been done. Wasn't it done at the festival... Fringe Festival?
No, this is the first time it's been done.
Is it?
We had a workshop last year.
Oh.
It was just for industry, so it was literally about 4 or 5 songs.
Oh, and you know what? And I wasn't even invited.
You were busy.
Shocker.
Huh?
Shocker.
Yeah.
Shocker,
eh?
You were busy.
Oh, was I busy?
Yeah.
Oh. And maybe it's because of my love of musicals.
Yes.
I love musicals. But what a great idea. So where did that... So Renee Lang is the other writer.
Lang.
Yeah. Yeah, and she is not here tonight, so I can't ask you the question, why Dominion Road, why the musical? And can I just guess, has it to do with a different variety of people, different variety?
The mixed variety? Well, yes and no. Do you want me to tell you?
Well, what do we think, people? Should we get Sharu to fill us in? I'd like to hear. Yeah. What do you tell us, Sharu? Why Dominion Road?
Well, basically, quite a few years ago, the Auckland Council decided to... come up with this idea to change Dominion Road into a dragon-gated community and call it Chinatown. And they, yes, so it's based on true events, but it's authentic stories. So it's not a true story. And Renee was one of the people that read about it in the papers and was quite upset that this was what was being said. And I believe there's a connection with Massey University, but I'm not actually, I can't remember the actual reasoning behind it, but I know that she was upset that this was happening, and it would they were proposing, as I said, a Chinatown, which is usually something that evolves, not something that's made and, you know, kind of for commercial gain. So she thought, I need to write a musical about this to respond to it. So I think it's 7 years since she heard about it. Wow. And it's, you know, she's been thinking about it, etc. She came up with the idea. She talked to Jin Bin and she said, if I write the book, can we co-write the lyrics and you write the music? And he's the composer. So,
can I ask, it's like trying to force something upon people. Do you remember that awful, awful Auckland A thing that went around for a while? Where they did this and they had people going, Auckland, I'm going to do a symbol now. This is radio, so you can describe it as I do it. George, you ready?
Okay.
Auckland A.
Oh, he's doing an A with his fingers.
Yeah.
Very clever. Looks good.
You're probably better off that you can't see it.
It's a little awkward.
It is awkward. But there was that whole advertising campaign. Heart of the City spent quite a bit of money on it, I think. Or Auckland, no, Auckland Council spent a lot of money on it. And what they were trying to do, it was Auckland Council, not Heart of the City. I apologise, Heart of the City. What they were trying to do was create this thing that, like you talk about, naturally evolves. They were trying to create it.
Mm.
And get everyone
take
to
off, though.
No, no one bought into it, though. What a dicky thing, though. Auckland A? Auckland A?
Yeah.
You know what? And they paid something like $300,000 for creative types and advertising agencies.
Yep.
Could have got a new flag for that.
A new flag?
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
I think that was 26 million, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh.
23? Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of millions.
Yeah, lots of millions.
Lots of millions for that flag that never happened.
Yeah. But basically that whole idea of that was brought up, and then all of a sudden when everybody decided that it wasn't a good idea and there was a bit of an uproar, they swept it under the carpet and they went, oops, and, you know, they're never to be heard again about. But a lot of people remember it, and so that's kind of the inspiration. That,
do you know how do the Chinese community feel about?
Well, it's not just the Chinese community. I think that's the whole point of Dominion Road. It's not just Chinese. Oh. It's diverse. And that's what Dominion Road, the musical, is all about, diversity. Mm. That mirrors Auckland. That's kind of the way we've put it together as well, with the people, the creative team, the cast, the crew, etc. It's a very, very diverse group of people, not just culturally, you know, ethnic backgrounds, ages, everything. It's all diversity, basically, and it's an Auckland story, really.
Mm. Mm.
So, yeah. I'm probably talking too much, if you want to say something about how it came about, because you were involved before I was.
Well, I was going to ask you, but when Renee approached you about it, what were your thoughts? I mean, were you aware that this was going on?
No, I wasn't aware about the Chinatown hoo-ha back then. But yeah, she told me about it. And to be honest, I didn't really know much about the history of Chinatown, just the label of Chinatown, until when she started writing some of the lyrics for one of the songs called Deeper Than That, which basically talks about the significance behind Chinatown. And yeah,
which is the song that will be played later.
It's one of the tracks. And I was attracted to this project mainly because of the opportunity to work with different ethnic music instruments that excite me as a composer, because I haven't really had a chance to play with, say, sitar, or, you know, fusing sitar with guitar or with piano, or erhu from a Chinese instrument. So yeah, that excites me a lot. That's why I got involved.
And how long have you been involved in the project for?
I think since June, July, since March, April last year, but the actual writing happens during June, July last year.
Yeah. So it's been a year.
Yeah.
Has the work evolved through that?
It's been evolving. Yeah. And every time I go to Dominion Road, it changes again. Yeah.
What's your favourite part of Dominion Road?
It's definitely the food, the dumplings. And
I know.
Yeah, so
you can stand along that street anywhere and go, what do I feel like? What do I feel like?
New flavour, or Barilla, obviously.
Or Barilla.
Yeah, it's another.
So delicious.
Barilla?
Barilla. That's the name of the place. So Barilla.
They do the most amazing dumplings. We'll have to go.
Okay, we'll go. Okay. Kick-ass night out.
Yeah.
I went to a restaurant. I'm not gonna name the restaurant, but I went one that everyone had raved about, and actually I was quite disappointed. I preferred the kind of, there were some smaller, off the way restaurants which were nicer.
Are we talking about Dominion Road or a different place? Tell us where it was.
It was on Dominion Road. I'm not.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just telling us about it.
No. Is this a restaurant?
Yeah. Yeah, tell us about it, but don't tell us exactly where. Yeah.
No, it had quite an effect on me.
Okay.
Oh. Because it had an effect on you. An effect. Effect. Difference between effect and affect.
Nice segue. Nice.
Yeah. Difference between affect and effect. Anyone?
Oh.
Affect, I didn't know there was going to be a quiz. Feelings, right? Is how you feel.
Well, isn't one American and one...
No, I think... No. You're affected by something emotionally. You're affected by something in like a more physical sense. Yeah?
Right.
No.
Are you Googling that right now?
I just sort of have a quick look. Most of the time, you'll want affect as a verb meaning to influence something, and effect for the something that was influenced.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between affect and effect is so slippery that people have started using impact as a verb instead.
Oh, very slippery. That's the word that I would use.
Impact.
No, slippery. To
describe
to
effect.
Describe the difference between effect and effect.
So what is the effect?
Effect. What is it? Do you want
to... The Effect is a play by a British playwright called Lucy Prebble. It's a beautiful play.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is.
Oh, we should say that too because we're in it. But.
Yeah. which is set on during a drug trial for a new antidepressant drug. And the story sort of focuses on two volunteers on the trial, a boy and a girl, who fall in love.
So, have to say that.
It says it on the Facebook page.
Yeah, I think if you look at the poster as well, it looks like someone's falling in love.
It pretty much does, yeah.
Are you both in the poster?
No, we're neither of us. We're too old to be on the poster.
Are you?
We're not attractive enough.
We're pretty enough to be on the poster.
Are you? You're not the ones that fall in love? You can't say that.
We can't say that. We can't.
But you're not, and this is interesting, you're not attractive enough to be on the poster. Are there any other people in the cast?
Yes, there's four of us.
So the two younger attractive people.
So we have the very beautiful Jessie Lawrence, who has been all over our screens in West Side and The Exponents.
Yes.
And the equally beautiful Daniel Waterson, who was also in The Exponents and was all over the Pop-Up Globe a couple of years ago.
Last year, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so they're... Phenomenal.
They're wonderful, yeah.
And they're on the poster.
It's very
they're
on the poster. Do you want to? Yeah. I'll give you a sneak peek right here.
It is a hot
right now.
Poster. Right?
Look at this. There you go.
Have a look.
So have you?
Pretty sexy.
Do you know what that reminds me of? Those of you, you can Google the Effect Facebook page and look at the poster. It's pretty. You know, there's a bit of a heartbeat going on in there as well. It reminds me of the opening credits for the series The Masters of Sex or Masters of Sex.
Yes.
With that, isn't it brilliant? With the dubious age of the cartoon characters interacting in the beginning with the cigarette at the end. They look dubious age, I would say. But that's kind of got a similar kind of look to it, really, on the bench, crossed together.
Well, it's the play, is about love.
It's about what's the effect of what our brains do when we fall in love and what happens within the brain when we're given certain drugs. So
if neurotransmitters,
look at you, you sound so smart. We both play doctors in the play, by the way. We both play psychiatrists.
Try when someone else has written the line. It's really clever.
Oh, if only Lucy had written our dialogue to write now.
Yeah, so, I mean, what are we? Do we have a heart? Do we have a soul? Are we just neurotransmitters?
Yeah.
Are we just chemical signals?
Can we trust when we're in love?
Well, what difference between love and lust is the question that people ask all the time. When you first meet someone, I mean, have you experienced that feeling? When you meet someone, you just go, oh, my God. And you just can't think of anything else. Well, you can't eat.
I was reading an article that basically explained that state of being in love, that first infatuation, is chemically really similar to being on crack cocaine.
Wow.
Have you tried it?
Cool.
To check. Just because I like to really research my roles.
Research.
And be thorough. I felt it was important.
So. You've been feeling lustful.
I'm learning so much right now.
No, I haven't done crack cocaine. But, yeah, it's a really similar state. So that's why you can't think of anything else. Mm. You constantly want to see that person because seeing them releases, you know, dopamine and makes you feel...
Yeah, you get this, you get that hit, you get the...
It's a great feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I have a crush every other week on people. So, you know, get that adrenaline rush. Yeah. That's so cool.
It's intoxicating.
Last for a day or two, you know, and then it goes away.
And I think that's what Lucy's done really well with the play, is to capture that state, which we all recognise, and make it... the play is beautifully crafted. The text is... how do we describe the text? It's like a piece of music. So we've been discovering as we learn it that there's not a spare word. It's almost like approaching Shakespeare in that you have to really honour the rhythm of the text, which is something that Ben...
What's so well written that you don't need an extra word. Mm. You know?
Ben Henson, who's our director, is forensic in the way that we approach the text initially.
Forensic?
Yeah.
Well, that's a very... big word to describe a director. So if we dig down deep into that forensic, he really dig down into the script.
Yeah, he's incredibly prepared. He knows the material so well. And it's been a real honour and a real treat to work with him, actually.
Yeah.
It's been a great experience, isn't it? I feel like I've learnt a lot.
Yeah. And just having him have that depth of understanding, and we're able to, often when you're working with someone, you're a little bit ahead of where they're at, because the actors think so passionately about our one character, and we research that and we do that. And sometimes you go to the director, you know, say something, they'll be like, oh, and they haven't even thought about it. But no, Ben, no, he's just...
He's thought about it already.
He's 50
yards
ahead
of us. Written
it
off.
He's thought about it.
Sorry, last week I did mention that.
Yeah. No thanks. No thanks. We're moving on from there.
Yeah, we're moving on from there because it's dress rehearsal. So, yeah. Too late to bring things to the table. And you talked about it being rhythm and music.
Mm.
Applying that back to Dominion Road, the musical, with the lyrics. Did you have the lyrics before you wrote the music, or did the lyrics evolve out of the music?
Yeah, most of them, they already have. Renee wrote most of the lyrics, so I would have the lyrics before I write the songs. Yeah, so...
Is that helpful, or you? What your previous musical writing and composing experience, has that been in the area of contemporary music?
Mostly, yeah. I would say pop and a fusion of some other genre, but not too deep into it, like funk, jazz, and hip-hop, yeah. So,
was it interesting? Was this your first musical?
First, I guess, proper... professional musical
full length
back in uni I used to do a lot of original musicals, but it's quite short, like maybe 60 minutes 40 minutes.
That's quite long for a musical.
Just the intro will be 2 minutes, and then the outro 6 minutes.
Awesome. And what's your favourite musical? I have to ask you if you've written. Do you like musical? Do you actually like the genre of musicals?
I really do. Wicked is definitely one of my favourite. Wicked.
There are auditions. Aren't there auditions for Wicked in New Zealand coming up, I believe? I think so, on an Australasian tour I saw somewhere.
Okay. Sheena, are you going to be auditioning for?
Yeah. That'll be a no.
Do you do musical theatre, Sheena?
No.
Is this because you have a love of straight theatre, or that you can't sing, or what?
I'm going to go with it's my passion is for drama, but actually it's just that I really care about other people and I wouldn't subject them to my voice.
You're not sure what the effect on them might be.
Yeah, exactly.
What about you, Will? Do you?
No, I'm definitely not a triple threat.
No?
I'm barely a double threat.
Do you sing?
Acting... No.
You don't.
Do you act?
Do I act even? Some people ask, is he acting? He's just actually there. He's just actually that character right now.
Are your characters... So you play doctors?
I play a clinical psychiatrist.
So do I, yeah. Okay. I play her boss.
Well, it would have to be, wouldn't it? Because that's how the world works. And he probably gets paid twice as much as you as well.
He definitely gets paid more.
Yeah, because that needs
to
be...
Are we talking about in the play?
Well, actually, as actors, that's been a conversation that's been out a lot, isn't it? In the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of conversation, talk about pay equity and in New Zealand. And I'm just curious, I don't know if you're aware, what is there any inequity with pay in New Zealand that you're aware of for performance?
Yeah, totally. I won't name names, but I was speaking to a couple of people who've been in the industry for a long time, and really, really amazing women actors, and not actresses, but actors, because that's what we call them. And they said that they were really appalled when they found out that they of the same caliber were being paid a huge percentage less than the men of the same.
In theatre, film or television?
Theatre.
Wow.
God.
That's a bit horrific, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And these are very, very well-known women actors that you would have thought there's no way they would do that to them. But, yeah.
Because even though there's a lot of women in the industry, it's still predominantly controlled by...
Well, I think it is the companies that were hiring them that offered the males the higher salary. And so what happened was, I think if the women don't realize that, they don't know that that is this case to be able to say, no, that's not going to happen. It's horrendous.
The lack of transparency is a real issue, because if you don't know what anyone else is being paid, how do you...
Mm. You're told really not to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
What you're being paid. It's interesting. I don't know much. Yeah, theatre. See, my agent for film and TV is a woman, so I'm hoping that she's always fighting equally strong for both sexes. You know, I don't know.
One would hope so.
Yeah,
yeah. But I think it is still the case with the larger companies. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she'll be doing battle against them.
Yeah. Should be pay equity.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it's the same job, of course.
Mm, mm. And it surprises me that in the performing arts that happens here, that really does surprise me. It does. It does. I thought we were a bit more progressive as far as that's concerned. The fact that actually people get paid in the performing arts surprises me for a start.
Exactly.
So why the hell would you not pay them the same rate? You know, really, because people give
that's
up their lives. It is, though. People give up their lives to do this. You don't do it because you want to make a fortune. And very few people do get to that stage where you can make a good living for a constant period of time. Mm. And then they just use you over and over and over again, don't they?
Mm.
And pay
Absolutely.
You more.
Well, Junbin, our composer, his day job is... Tell us about your day job.
I unblock drains.
Wow.
Yeah.
Say it properly.
I'm an engineer, stormwater engineer.
He unblocks drains.
Oh, wow. My job is to unblock drains, yeah.
Yeah. It's probably a bit more complicated than that, isn't it?
Yeah, he's simplifying it, but, you know, that's his
do you
day
design?
Yeah, I picture you with a plunger, like a massive plunger.
No, I think he's got staff to do.
I saw hi-vis everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah, hi-vis.
My favourite.
Yeah. Everyone looks good in orange. Yeah. That's true.
Everyone just looks good in a hi-vis. Yeah. It doesn't matter what colour it is.
Yeah.
I love a hi-vis.
I have to say, my 14-year-old son wants to be a tradie. He's decided he wants to be an electrician. Oh. And I thought, great, that's such a good thing
to
do.
He's going
to
get more money than
I ever earned in my life. And I was doing an event just recently, and I had a whole set of hi-vis. He came home and put it all on to fold his laundry.
I think it's cool.
Wow. Because Anthony was going, hey, tradie. Sorry, we're so off topic. But I mean, it goes back to, so your day jobs, you have to do that. This is a passion for you.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not something that you can do is it something you want to do full time as a composer?
Yes, yes, definitely.
So how did you get into engineering? What, after school, after you know, you're at school, did you say, I want to go and unblock drains?
No. After high school, I actually wanted to do arts related courses, maybe architecture or something similar. I didn't get in, so engineering was the second or third option.
Yep.
So yeah, by default just went straight there. But it's good, it's a good place to be in, get to meet some other like-minded creative people who once again also have the passion but needed to do another job just to pay the bills. And so yeah, just a group of us just doing our thing at night and day job in the morning.
So Dominion Road the musical is with people who are working during the day and rehearsing at night?
Well, there's two parts to the cast. So we've got a core of five actors, and they're professional actors. And we've got 11 as of today. We may have a couple more starting next week.
I'm not doing anything next week.
Oh, do you want to be part of the cast? But they're what we call the community cast members. A lot of them have historical or current ties to Dominion Road. Some of them have been with us for the year since the last workshop, and they've helped to give the writers the inspiration for the authentic stories. And so, they come on Friday night and on the weekends to rehearse while the core cast works 5 days a week. So.
It's a really impressive cast. I was having a look just before, and we had Brady on, I think, like 4 or 5 weeks ago, and Brady Petty, who's playing Stevie in the production, but he was a part of Larger Than Life, which I went and saw, and...
It's hilarious.
I wanted to go anywhere, but as soon as I saw Brady, I was like, I'm there. Yeah.
Larger Than Life was funny, wasn't it?
Larger Than Life was fantastic.
Very funny, comic timing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, does Brady sing in it?
Yeah, well, of course.
It's a musical.
It's a musical.
He has to.
He's just the most beautiful singer.
He is.
Yeah,
he
it's is. Worth people going back and finding that episode of Kick-Arts just to listen to Brady singing, because it's like...
Oh, wow.
And listening to me.
So where was I?
You were in overseas.
I was in Samoa.
Yeah.
Lying on the beach, sipping margaritas.
You really missed out.
Life was tough. I should have stayed. I miss that. I might go back and listen to that episode, because you can do that. You can go to our website, kickarts.org.nz, and go right back to our first episode, 2012, which you don't want to do, because we played it last week because it was our fifth birthday, and it was pretty funny, wasn't it?
It wasn't as bad as you said it was.
Yeah, it was. That long pause in the beginning where we didn't play anything, because they said to me in my training, that what's the worst thing, Richard, in radio? And I went... Did you get that?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Thanks. Took a while.
The funny thing as well is that we had so many technical problems last week, like more than any other week, and it was as we were talking about, like, we're so good now, 5 years in.
And everything went wrong. Go back and listen to the show. As I say, kickarts.org.nz. It'll be archived.
Well, maybe you could put a link onto the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Well, we could.
There already is one.
Oh, is there?
Well, last week's one.
Which has the funny bits in it.
Yeah.
I think he's talking about the first show. Are you talking about the first show?
Show with the singing that you were talking about.
Yes. Put a link to that one. Good, cool, yeah.
We could put a link to this one. Because 5 minutes after we go off the air, you can download the show and listen to it. So, yeah. Will's slowly moving into my seat to take over.
He does that.
Yeah. So how did you get involved in this, Will, in the effect?
I was really lucky that Jason and Ben came and asked me, and I was like, are you serious? Because I teach also at Unitech on the acting course, and so I taught Jason, who is producing the show, and I'd watched Ben direct multiple performances for the students here, and I was always amazed at visually just amazing, and he's bringing out these performances out of the students that I just loved. So I thought, I kind of got that jealous thing on. I was like, oh, I really, really want to work with them. And so they came and asked, and I said, of course. And then I read the script, and it's just like, I love plays that make you think and enjoy and love and feel things, and so you're kind of getting this academic lesson as well as being entertained.
Yeah, without it being didactic, so it's intelligent, but it's human and funny.
Didactic.
So it's not didactic.
What do you do during the day? Do you write dictionaries?
That's right.
You're from England. You've probably got a really big vocabulary.
There we go. I just did a pause for you. During the day, I work at the Anxiety Trust.
Okay.
So I'm really drawn to fields of work which pay really badly.
The not-for-profit sector.
Mental health.
Yeah. Which is a shame, isn't it? Because given the amount of mental health issues in New Zealand that have been more and more being talked about, finally, it's these things should be funded better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's weird as well, like, because I'm about to finish a course in counselling, and everybody in my course is kind of freaking out because there's no jobs going.
I'm about to start one. Don't tell me that.
Yeah, sorry. But there should be so many jobs because there's so many people in need. But there's no funding for it.
But can you imagine if there was plenty of funding for it and it was just part of our lives, that every week or once a month you'd go and you'd see a counsellor? If it was just common, you know? Like,
well, the irony being that if there was better... self-care with mental health, it would save a lot of money down the line in hospitalisation. Yeah. So it's
but isn't
really
that the same? Isn't that the same with everything?
Yeah.
As we enter an election year, you know, education, health, if it was funded to the level it should be funded at, if we had a healthy, educated society who lived in warm homes, who had enough to eat, just imagine how things would change. And that's, I had the pleasure of listening to the Commissioner for Children, the Chief Ombudsman, and the Human Rights Commissioner at a conference last weekend, and all of them were talking about the fact that there's, you know, endemic issues with high rates of suicide with our teens, highest in the OECD, and related to, it's not rocket science to fix it, but no government is happy enough to do it. And that actually leads on to the fact that this week we lost another around the world, you know, Chester Bennington, Linkin Park, amazing, amazing singer. I love him. I loved him for, you know, for probably 15 years ago I first heard I can never say it, Meteora.
Something like that.
Yeah. And I just was amazed at not only the high production values of that album, but his incredible, incredible voice, which I'm going to play a little bit of a song that he did.
Yep.
And it's actually not one of Linkin Park's songs.
Which is cool. Because I've heard a lot of Linkin Park this week. Not that I don't like Linkin Park, but like that song "Numb," it doesn't. It gets you with the really sad, depressive feelings, you know.
Yeah, and this might. This is a cover of Adele's "Rolling in the Deep," and it just showed what I used to play this to people was to show them what an amazing voice he had, because people went, "I just yells," but actually he doesn't. He controls
it's quite technical.
So. Have a little listen to this.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the door. Finally, I see you crystal. Go ahead and send me out while I lay your ship bare. See how I live with every piece of you. Don't underestimate the things that I will do. There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. The skies of your love remind me of us, that keep me thinking that we almost had it all. The skies of your love leave me breathless. I can't help feeling we could have had it all. Rolling in the deep, you have my heart inside of your head, but you play. Story to be told, but I've heard one on you, and I'm gonna make your head burn. See me at the depths of your despair, making a home down there, cause mine sure won't be shared. The skies of your love remind me of us, they keep me thinking that we almost had it all. The skies of leave me breathless. I can't help you. We could have had it all. Rolling in the deep. You have my heart inside.
through every open door. Count your blessings, find what you're looking for. Turn my sorrow into treasure gold. Pay me back in time, reach just what you sow.
Mm. Yeah, he's got an amazing voice. And, you know, again, sad, we lose another great artist who struggles with issues, mental health issues, and decides it's not worth it. If you're having trouble at the moment, you want to talk to somebody 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can call Lifeline on 0800, or as they say in this country, 0800 543 354, 0800 543 354. Lifeline Aotearoa Tautoko, 0508 828 865, and we'll put those numbers on our Facebook page tomorrow. And if you know someone who's struggling, just reach out and let them know you are there.
Yeah.
Because all it takes is for somebody to say, I care and I'm there. Is that, does your play deal with the issue around these issues? I mean, you talk about antidepressants, you're psychiatrists.
It does depression and suicide are themes that are in the play.
I'm just trying to think how to talk about it without giving anything away.
Mm. So we really open up the discussion about depression, I suppose, and looking at coming from two sort of diametrically opposed viewpoints as to the best approach to treating depression, medicalization or psychotherapy.
So we have basically constant arguments about
that. We have lots of
Never the Twain Shall Meet, is that?
Sorry?
Never the Twain Shall Meet?
Well,
we've talked a lot about, like, I mean, again, a guy, I don't want to talk about the play too much, but it's that thing of, it's got to be somewhere in the middle, right? It's got to be whatever works.
But, yeah, I suppose what we essentially have decided is it's such, there's no definitive answer, and so medicine doesn't even really know what the answer is. You can't treat every single human being as though their depression is the same as the next person. There are so many different factors, genetic, environmental, chemical, and all of those things can come together in a perfect storm. So for one person, it's one thing, another, it's a combination of all three. So how do you possibly have a uniform way of treating that?
I suppose resilience for some people is different from other people.
And
a combination of drugs that might work for me might not work for you.
Because my chemistry is completely different, and then there'll be side effects from certain drugs that some people will react to, which other people won't. So it's a really complex discussion, and I think what we really like about the play is that it opens that up. It doesn't claim to be an expert.
It's not there to give you the answer as well as to
To make you think.
Have a conversation, which is what we should be doing more, shouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Because I was reading something again. It's all over our media. I think it was tied up to the Commissioner for Children. But the person who's the expert, the government expert on suicide, said we shouldn't be talking about it.
Ridiculous.
Mm. So, I mean, how do you feel about that? Especially given our arts industry is impacted by it quite a lot.
I went to a suicide prevention talk recently, and the first thing that they said is that it's really important to talk about it. And if you see someone, if you have any concerns whatsoever that they might be feeling suicidal, you ask them. Asking someone if they are suicidal isn't going to make them suicidal. Mm. But if someone is feeling suicidal, and is actively suicidal, and you are there and you ask them, that might well stop them from committing suicide. So I think it's vital.
Well, you know, if you're feeling alone and vulnerable,
just knowing
to feel like you're not alone.
Yeah.
So being open and talking and feeling like you can ask for help, I think, some people feel often that they can't?
That's an interesting question. If we talk about it, they say if we talk about it, we're going to cause people to do it. And a lot of people are talking about it on social media. Now, we had a conversation in the green room before the show went on social media and its impact on bullying, on... But then a lot of people also posting on Facebook, if you are listening to me, please share this so I know you're listening. Is that, in your experience of social media, do you pay attention to those kind of calls? If a friend posted something like that, would you repost
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you. I think you may not want to have that conversation on social media. You may want to take it off and go, you know, and do a private message or what have you. And Richard, you're aware that I've done quite a few of those charity events called Black Dog Relief, which where we've given money to help counselling for people within the arts to make sure that this kind of thing doesn't happen. So I strongly believe, personally, because all of us have in the industry here in Auckland, in Wellington, etc., we've actually had people very close to us take their lives because I believe, and I'm not simplifying it, but I think it's because they just haven't had that opportunity, or they felt they didn't have the opportunity to talk to someone. And, you know, it's terrible because they sometimes they're as young as 25 years old.
So just, I know this is quite a, I'm not trying to trivialise the subject, but just, are there any issues in Dominion Road the musical? Are there any, is it frivolous musical, or is it, is there lighthearted? Frivolous. Is there discussion around, you know, the issues in there that are discussed? Obviously, the way that people perceive different ethnicities in New Zealand, I think, would probably be, is that covered in there? Is it?
It's not covered as in suicide, but I think, sorry, you can pipe in any time. But yeah, I was going to say that for Dominion Road the musical, what we're trying to do with it, and what we believe we're doing, is giving a voice to a community of people that don't normally get a voice in, especially the performing arts, and we'll specifically say musicals because, and Auckland per se. And so for us, we feel that we're hoping to pave the way for others to be able to continue to create work that gives this community a voice. So working with community members that actually live in the area and or have lived in the area and have some of history is very, very important, not just to be able to give them, as I said, the voice, but also to allow them to express themselves, to educate us Aucklanders who don't know about them, their cultures, their struggles, etc., without being, you know, whiny about it. It's more sharing that, and the way Dominion Road does, shares the food, shares the culture, shares that. So we're trying to do that through the music, through the whole storyline, etc. So does that kind of answer your question?
And this is on at the Glen Eden Playhouse.
That's correct.
It's called the Playhouse, isn't it? Playhouse Theatre.
It's the Playhouse Theatre, Glen Eden, and it's on from the 9th to the 19th of August, Wednesday through to Saturday at 7:30 p.m. So, yeah. But the, I mean, for us, I mean, going back to what you're saying about that, it's also, it represents the diversity of Auckland, and it isn't the first, I would say, musical about Auckland's diversity. Right. And that's what we're very, very excited and proud about. And in the music, and Junbin can talk to that as well, that's what we're trying to do, to try and get people to understand that whole diverse mix.
It sounds like it'd be a great night out as well.
Yeah, it is.
So let's talk about that music.
So
you've got a track here for us that you wrote the music to.
Yeah.
So, and you alluded to it earlier. So, what is the piece of music that we're going to play?
Yep. It's called Deeper Than That. Basically, it's kind of like an educational piece telling the one of the characters in the musical about the history of Chinatown. So, yeah. So, basically, the word Chinatown is much deeper than that. Yeah.
So, what's it called?
Deeper Than That.
Deeper Than That. So, yeah. Georgia, is your computer open?
It's open.
And it's all hooked up? And the volume's up and everything?
Yeah.
I'm just giving her a hassle because we were doing a show a couple of weeks ago and she was playing the track out and then she closed her computer and we went to silence. Mm. Oh, so I'm just making sure you're not going to close your computer.
Maybe just
pull up the thing and just see if it's playing.
Yes, it's playing. Yeah, that's okay. Okay. Awesome. See that? Okay. So who's singing in this? Cast members?
It's played by one of the main characters called Geeta. She's a Sri Lankan, by the way, and she learned about the history of Chinatown at school, so she's telling another character about this. By the way, this track was recorded during our practice, so it's not studio quality. Oh, yeah. But yeah, I guess.
Well, we get the feeling of life, don't we?
But Geeta is the character, and the singer is Marissa Holder.
Marissa Holder, okay. And deeper than that. Kick-Arts listener knows how much I like musicals. And I have to say, I really kind of like that. It was really snappy. It's really nice hearing a New Zealand accent in a musical, number one. You said that was recorded at a rehearsal?
After she finished the rehearsal, she recorded after that.
It sounds like one of those live cast albums, recorded.
Yeah.
Really
voice.
Good. Great yeah. voice. And I really, really, I kind of got me going, well, maybe I'll pop along. And because the content of the lyrics wasn't just, and now I'm going to eat my lunch and walk across the stage looking sharp. Da, 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 da,
as maybe
people
that's going to convert you.
No?
Have you ever been to a musical, Rick?
I grew up doing musicals because that's how I got my start in theatre, was doing community theatre musicals. Uh-huh. The King and I, like, Hans Christian Andersen.
Oh, wow.
What else have I done? Christmas Carol, Guys and Dolls, all those. But that's how you get in New Zealand if you don't go to, you're in your teens.
One of the reasons I know that I'm not a triple threat was I had to play, when I was 17, I played Wall Footrot in the... musical for our flats at the Danny Burke Theatre Company.
Mm-hmm. Danny Burke, get out of town. That's where I was born.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Really? What year?
We'll talk about that after the show, shall we? Oh,
you didn't go to school there, though.
No, I didn't. My parents were smart enough to get out.
Oh,
my dad was the
I love town.
My dad was the Hannah's shoe store manager.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
my auntie worked there.
Oh wow! Mm. Small world. Oh. Anyway,
back to musicals. Sorry.
Yeah, but that's how in New Zealand a lot of people got their start. I mean, you did that when you were 17? So through school, were you interested in theatre and performing arts? And,
oh yeah,
and musicals. Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not. I just love acting, and the only way I could kind of do it was either school shows, which were musicals, in the local theatre.
Which was musicals?
Well, they did musical, I don't know why they cast me.
You obviously could, the male could kind of sing.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
And it was did you say Will Ferrell?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a bit of a bloke, though,
eh? Yeah, and I was, you know, I'm definitely not the build of Will Ferrell, to be honest with you.
Oh, I don't know.
Sell yourself short, Will.
I need a few more pies. Oh, my goodness.
And what a great...
We have to educate you, Sheena.
You do.
What a great stage name you've got, too. I'm going to have to... Will Wallace.
Stage name, yeah. Well, my parents. You can thank my parents for that.
Yeah. And so they went, oh, what should we call him?
Well, it was before Braveheart came out. So,
oh, okay.
You know, until Braveheart came out, you either had to be a Wallace or at least understand some history of Scotland to really know who he was.
Right.
But when Braveheart came out, suddenly everyone was like, oh, you're Mel Gibson.
That Will
I was
Wallace.
Like, no, I'm taller.
Yeah, and not a bigot.
Ooh.
Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
Ouch.
Did you find it, speaking of that, do you find people go, Dominion Road the musical, why?
It's actually the opposite. It's,
why not?
It's like, wow, we all have a Dominion Road story. And I think everybody's just excited that there is a story about Dominion Road rather than why the musical. Mm. Occasionally they ask because they won't know what it's about. But it's more, wow, it's about Auckland. It's about us. We should come and see it. It's, yeah, I think the name, someone asked me, is that the working title? I said, no, that's the title.
Mm.
Because the minute I mention the words Dominion Road before I even say the musical, people want to come and see it.
Mm.
So, yeah. What do you think?
Dominion
Road.
I'm
calling you Dominion Road.
Come on, get his name right,
Sean. Now on, you are Dominion Road, got it.
Junbin, what do you think when you say I'm working on Dominion Road the musical,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to I'm not, you know, I'm blocking the drains there or anything? Where are you working? Dominion Road. Oh, I'm blocking drains. No, I'm doing a musical.
Yes, yeah.
Do you have those conversations?
Yes. Dominion Road got pretty serious flooding issues as well, so I do go there and check out their drains.
So you can combine.
Yeah, I should have written a song about that. Yeah.
You should have.
Yeah.
There you go, a song about unblocking drains on Dominion Road because they flood.
Not too late.
Putting your high-vis vest on.
Yeah. There could be a high...
We could work.
Can you imagine
right
that?
Yeah.
A whole high-vis dance number.
Oh, it
would be awesome.
Yeah, I can supply that.
Yeah, me and Will can
a few stop-go signs.
Yeah.
Hi, sister. We're losing... Georgia, pull us back together. Pull us back together. Come on.
I don't know. I got lost with the hi-vis as I got excited. I'm not going to lie. I was brought along with that.
Yeah, she's Googling photos of me.
Now, Lucy Prebble. Let's talk about Lucy Prebble. Do you know much about her? Because I'm interested in why she chose this. Because she also did The Secret Diary of a Call Girl. It was a television series she wrote. And
Enron.
And so she's around issues,
contemporary
progressive issues. Is that where she sees herself as a writer? Do you know?
Well...
Having never met her.
My extensive knowledge is that I follow her on Twitter. She's pretty hilarious. But that's all I can tell you. Yeah.
This would be a Ben question.
This is a Ben question. Yeah. Ben, I was just thinking that Ben would have a really good answer for you right now.
No, I'm just going to let you sit there. I'm not going to say anything.
Don't do that.
Well, she grew up in Hazelmoor in Surrey and was educated at Guildford High School.
Oh, I grew up.
And she studied in... Did you? What?
I grew up near Guildford.
Did you? Guildford High School?
Hmm.
Oh. She wrote a short play called Liquid, which won the PMA, Most Promising Playwright Award. She received the Distinguished Alumni Award in 2014. She won the George Devaney Award for her debut play The Sugar Syndrome in 2004, mm-hmm. followed by the TMA Award for Best New Play in October 2004. The Sugar Syndrome, she's worked on other plays and shows and is the creator of The Secret Diary of a Call Girl. Now, that sounds like an interesting title. It's a British television drama broadcast in 2007 to 2011, based on the blog and books by the pseudonyms Belle du Jour.
Belle du Jour, yeah.
And had Billy Piper.
Mm.
a high-end London call girl.
And Billy was in...
Billy was, yeah, she played the character in The Effect at the National.
So they might have a really good working relationship, or one came after the other kind of thing.
Well, this was it 2011 that The Effect came?
Yes.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Or 2009, I don't know. But sometime. So she's obviously interested in contemporary issues.
Absolutely, yeah.
And do you find, can you relate to these? I mean, neither of you are a psychiatrist, are you?
No.
No.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Can you relate to the...
Oh, absolutely.
To the script?
Yeah.
Is it hard to dig into that?
That's the beauty of it. She writes really human characters. So we were talking about this the other day, that the palette of colours that you need as an actor just to navigate each scene, because they're so flawed, so human, and so real.
Yeah.
So it's a treat to play.
And there's such, like, each character's got its own personality. Yeah, you know, it's beautiful writing.
Mm.
So you really get inside the characters. And I don't know, like, I don't know if I've grown into Toby's kind of mindset, but I find myself agreeing with almost everything Toby says. Mm-hmm. And I know that you know what I mean? Like, we have this...
I feel pretty passionate about my character.
Yeah, so we literally... Mm. There's no acting required, you know. It's just kind of...
Mm. No acting required. That's like an ad in a trade magazine, isn't it? We're looking for two actors to play psychiatrists in a very, very important play around a research into in a medical facility. No acting required. Did you audition? Or were you tapped on the shoulder like William Wallace?
I got a shoulder tap like William Wallace.
Is that nice as an actor to be recognised that someone... not recognised as... Wow, that's William Wallace. But Will Wallace. But, or Sheena, But actually to go, hey, I'm doing this project and I'd really like you to play a part.
So I worked with Ben. He directed me in The Tempest, which was a summer Shakespeare that we did it on the pop-up Globe, actually, the first year that the Globe was in town.
Yeah.
And I had just been really desperate to work with him again after that, because he's a brilliant director.
Mm-hmm. You can tell we're fans.
I'm a big fan. I really am a fangirl.
Could you guys just... There's some tissues there. Just wipe the drawer off the table. It's electrical wiring around here. If you could just... Thanks.
So, yes, I was stoked to...
Yeah.
It's
incredibly flattering, and it doesn't often happen. And I think often people, even if they really want you, they still get you to audition as some kind of power play. But I don't see anything wrong with just saying, hey, look, I really like you, I think you can do it, can you just do it for me? I'm not going to suddenly be like, I want 10 times the money, you know, like, this is great.
Can you get $20?
I'd like $11 instead of 10. You know, so it's great, and it makes you feel good, and why not?
And it's just been a great place to turn up every day, you know? Ben is directing, Jason Hodgman is producing it, we've got Jesse and Daniel.
Daniel's amazing.
Daniel's amazing.
I saw him last year in Lucrece.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just...
Yeah, I was in that as well with him.
Oh, yeah.
Up the rope.
Oh, shit. Oh, awkward, she didn't.
No, that was really good.
Yeah, you were really good too.
I reviewed that show and it was just so brilliant, because I know Callum quite well.
Yes.
Yeah, good. It's really amazing cast. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Was Sheena any good?
Yeah. The whole cast was really, really great.
So it's the third play Dan and I have done together now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You've been busy.
Yeah.
But it's not your full-time job. Or is it your full-time? You said you were going to start studying counselling.
Yeah, I'm doing a counselling postgrad. Well, there's not enough... work to support like two children and a mortgage.
What about just support the mortgage and let the children,
maybe
fend for themselves?
Get the children to pay the mortgage.
Yeah. You could sell one of the children.
Mm. Well, that would pay for the mortgage.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah. Sell one of them. How do you pick your favourite children?
Sheena's doing Eeny Meeny. Sharu is doing Eeny Meeny. Yeah. That's a horrible, horrible thing to say.
So I am a father of two, by the way.
I just say to people, I don't like my own children, I don't like anyone else's.
Yeah.
Sorry, children, if you're listening to the show, I love you, babe.
I love you.
You get the work, you just do the work when you can. So how do you survive then?
Well, so I feel quite lucky in that I've discovered something else that I'm passionate about, which is worth working in the field of mental health. So I get a lot of enjoyment. Enjoyment is maybe the wrong word, but...
Fulfillment,
mm. Yeah. Yeah, so... But as an actor, you're always kind of looking for work that you can do that you enjoy, that, you know, doesn't want to make you poke your eyes out to have to go and do it every day, but that you can fit around acting as well. So,
like selling wine.
Like selling wine.
Do you know, I was the first actor to work for the New Zealand Wine Society back in 1993.
Wow, you must be old. We'll talk about that. What year were born in Dannebrog? We'll talk about that shortly.
Well, it's not a competition.
So how did you get involved with that? Because that fascinates me, because we have quite a few actors and dancers and musicians who come on and go, yeah, I work for New Zealand Wine Society. Because it's flexible.
Yeah, yeah. They do flexible hours. When I was working there, it was I was like the first actor to be doing it. And they'd advertised for actors because it was an Australian company. And it was flight attendants were the other... They just basically needed people who were really flexible hours to work on the call centre for them.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I worked there for like 4 years.
And
I left with the record, two records. I left with the records of most sales in a session and the least.
I thought you said when you left with a record, you'd stolen them
the
from the office.
Record.
Yeah, the
No,
vinyl from the manager's office or something. It was a Led Zeppelin album.
Beautiful company. Yeah, they're really good people to work for.
Yeah. So how you've obviously been in this game a long time.
Yeah, I think I got paid for my first television role in 1992.
And how did you get into that? Let's get a timeline here. 17, you were in a musical which really sucked.
In the 80s.
And then we're probably are the
actually,
same age.
No,
and then
the musical is actually quite good.
Oh,
I
sorry.
Just, you know,
you
I
were terrible.
I could have been better.
So then how did you get into television? Did you study?
Well,
or
I always
you
wanted to be in film and television. That's the thing. As a kid, I mean, I'm wearing a Star Wars T-shirt now. As a child, I'd play games in the backyard, pretending I was my own character in different films, and so I was just obsessed with film and TV, and that's kind of what I was focused on. And I gave a really quick try at having a normal job, which was becoming a computer technician when I was 19, and really, really hated it. And luckily my parents saw that I was unhappy, going back to our conversation earlier, and they said, look, if you really want to do this thing, we'll support you as best we can, off you go. So I came to Auckland. I did a year-long course then, which was a bit like the actors program now, but it actually became what is now the
Unitech program.
And got my first, graduated from that, got the agent that I'm still with now. I've been with her for 23 years.
Wow.
And she's, looked after me that whole time.
Mm.
And, got my first job, which was a TV show, a British show, actually, called Soldier Soldier. They were filming here.
I used to watch that.
Yeah. They shot here for a couple of episodes. So
I remember that.
Love that show.
And then I did Shortland Street that same year. And then I was quite infrequent in the work. And then did Shortland Street again in like...
A different character?
Different character, yeah. And then it was 97. And then at that point I decided I wanted to get a degree. I wanted to do more training. So I came back and did two more years. It had become a degree here at Unitech after that. So
there at Unitech. This isn't Unitech.
Oh, sorry.
We're not Unitech.
Oh, okay, sorry.
It's over there.
Over the fence.
People think we're part of
Unitech. If you throw rocks.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. We're on the Unitech campus, but we're not part of Unitech.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's all right.
When I say I feel here, because I teach here now, so I literally go walk up this driveway just to our left.
They can't see the driveway, Will. It's
right.
They're
on the radio.
If you see it, they'll see it.
Long story short, got the degree, then did some films and more TV, and then last year did Shortland Street for the third time.
Wow, different character again?
Third character. Actually, I voiced a character as well, so I guess technically I've done four characters.
You voiced a character?
Yeah, there was a guy once who was inaudible, and so I went into a sound booth and voiced his... ADR.
I tried my best.
You know,
he had a mohawk. It wasn't good.
He did have a mohawk.
It wasn't me. Didn't have a mohawk then. I didn't have a mohawk. Anyone with a mohawk in the musical? Dominion Road, the musical?
No.
Diversity.
So tell us about... Did you want anyone with a mohawk?
The director, yeah.
Anyone with... So talk about this diversity. We talk about diversity. We just talk about ethnic diversity. We talk about
Diverse ages as well. Yeah. So the youngest, she is, 18. I believe she's 18. And the oldest is 75.
No way.
Yeah.
People 75 can still perform?
I thought her singing just now was interesting.
Absolutely.
I thought it, because one of my job is to teach the community to sing the songs. Yeah, she just picked it up like that.
Yeah. Well, I was being facetious. Oh, that's fantastic.
They're very...
And they auditioned for you, or they...
So the community were involved quite
from
a few
the
of them from last year.
Right.
And at that stage, it wasn't so much an audition process with them. It was more them saying that they were interested and then coming to see whether they'd be a fit.
Right.
It was that way. And those who weren't fit just didn't come back again. But, you know, the ones that were have stayed, which is about 80% of them, I would say.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
For the core cast, which is the five, we did auditions. And, I think we haven't mentioned who they are, so maybe you should mention
who's quite diverse as well.
Yeah.
There's five of them, actually. Sort of, one of them is Marissa Holder, who sang that song.
Great voice.
Yeah, and another one is Jackie Clark.
Oh, as in Jackie Clark.
Yes.
Jackie Clark.
Jackie Clark.
Oh, wow. Jackie Clark.
Yeah, don't have to say as in anything. Yeah. Jackie Clark.
I'm there.
When the Cat's Away? She in When the Cat's Away?
Yeah, was it?
That was Jackie Clark, wasn't it?
When the Cat's Been Spayed, is it?
Or the Cat's Been Spayed. I'm pretty sure. We can look that up.
Yeah, I'm straining my brain now.
So she's actually...
She was in The Lady Killers. Not the musical, but with Tina Cross and Susan Lynch. She was. They had an album a while back, but I don't think it was When the Cat's Away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah. When the Cat's Been Spayed, you're right.
Oh, Been Spayed, yeah.
Yep.
Which was a comedy.
And it was 10 years touring.
Yes, a comedy group.
Mm-hmm.
That.
So it's the original jack of all trades with a huge voice, personality and wicked sense of humour. Jackie spent 10 years touring and recording when the Cat's Been Spayed.
And the interesting thing is when you Google When the Cat's Been Spayed, there's a whole lot of instructions from different SPCAs around the world how to treat your cat. And then Jackie Clark comes up. So that's really funny.
Yeah.
I think we could actually... Could I have my little cord... I'm just going to look.
Teamwork
that
no one
can
see.
No one can see.
I feel like they're
we just out. Nailed that, eh? We nailed that, Georgia. We nailed it. When the Cat's Been Spayed, here's a little bit of what that was about. It's called Tamarunui on the Main Trunk Line.
Ordinary joker, getting old before me time. For me arts and Tamarunui on the main trunk line. Ooh, shirp, shirp. Ooh, shirp, shirp. Ooh, shirp, shirp. Ooh. Well, you can get to Tamarunui going north.
North.
Or going south.
There you go, there's a little taste of When the Cat's Been Spayed, just so people didn't think we were being silly. There was actually something. There's Jackie Clark, who's in the cast.
So she's actually...
I'm glad my memory actually works.
I'm surprised.
She's actually playing... she's actually the token white girl in the main cast.
The token white girl.
Yeah.
How often do you hear that?
And she has a song that's called Token White Girl.
Oh.
That
awesome.
She's going to sing.
Awesome.
So come and check it out. Anyway, so the third core cast is... his name is Mustak. Missouri.
Oh.
Love Mustak.
He's funny. I've seen him in a couple of Praeus Theatre Company pieces, and he's just got a wicked sense of humour.
And he was in the Summer Shakespeare recently as well.
I remember him in Summer Night's Dream. It would have been a couple of years ago, but as soon as I saw the photo on your site, I just knew him straight away. He's brilliant.
Pretty.
Unique. For him, it's interesting because it's his first ever musical, and he sings duets with Jackie Clark, so he's pretty...
Nervous.
He's doing a beautiful job.
He'll be
but
great.
I suppose it is quite a big thing to be opposite Jackie. So,
yeah.
Well, speaking about being opposite Jackie, you know, I said When the Cat's Away, they are a famous New Zealand band.
Oh, yeah, I know the other one. Yeah.
You've heard of them. And this is their track that's famous, actually, because you'll know this one. Is it? Not quality sound. That was Debbie Harwood, yep, yeah. And When the Cat's Away. Melting Pot, that song, you know. Mm-hmm. Great big melting pot. Right, which is quite relevant to
absolutely.
Dominion Row the Musical, yep.
All right, moving on. We have Brady. Brady PT.
Brady.
Playing an interesting character called Stevie. Well, we won't spoil anything. Lastly, we have Benjamin Tay. Benjamin Tay playing Terry.
Right.
Yeah, so Benjamin is very well known for being a playwright also acting in quite a few of Renee's plays. I think he said six he's done so far, or maybe this is the sixth.
She must have an incredible body of work now.
Oh, yeah.
She really must.
Unbelievable. And this is her first musical she's written this year. She also wrote her first opera. So she's doing quite a few firsts this year as well. So.
Oh, what was her first opera?
The Bone Feeder at the Auckland Arts Festival.
Wow.
Yeah.
With Gareth Farr, who wrote the music.
Opera. Is that a musical? Is opera a musical?
Well, there's music.
We had this discussion a couple of weeks ago. It's not. It's just a trick question.
Okay.
What was the difference between an opera and a musical? There was some distinction between what's opera and what's not.
I can't tell you. I just got... Yeah, and because rock opera, kind of in the middle.
Mm. Yeah.
It just all got a bit exciting. I don't remember.
Yeah. That's what happens. Georgia comes here, she gets overwhelmed by the excitement, and then she has to leave.
Oh.
So, yeah.
So the musical talk.
Well, the musical talk.
For someone who doesn't like musicals... As a host, we do talk about musicals a lot.
We certainly do. I didn't say I didn't like them. I just said I find them challenging.
But you like this one.
I actually really like that music. So what's the... Is it vignettes? Or is there a through line? Or is there an actual story that you could share with us?
Yeah, I've got a little bit of a story. We don't want to give too much away.
Oh,
but as I said, it's based on that Chinatown issue. So basically residents and the business owners on Dominion Road feel threatened by this premise of what is being proposed to redevelop the street into a Chinatown. And so basically they try to work together to make sure that that doesn't happen. So there's, you know, the for and against. But at the same time, there are two couples in the show. So Marissa Holder and Ben are a couple.
It's a bit of a love story.
Yeah, and then also Alison and Mustaka are a couple as well. So, but I'm just saying a couple loosely termed, so you can come and see what that means. But, yeah, basically, so those are the human interest stories and the thing. But the through line is that, and it's to kind of talk about that issue and what have you. So, yeah, it's not as... As you said, it's not a trivial thing, but it's not hard and very, very heavy either. So it's kind of real life, I'd say.
When you're writing music for a musical, is there a certain pattern, like happy song, sad song, slow song, fast song, happy, happy, dance number, cha-cha-cha?
That's a very good question.
Yes, yes, definitely, because I'll get super bored if it's just happy, 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 and then one sad and then happy. So, yeah, we try and keep the balance as well. But essentially, we're there to serve the story. So if there's at least five songs that needs to be happy, we'll make that happen.
But I think in the song genres as well, the way Junbin doesn't know how to actually tell us about how amazing he is, so I will. The diversity is in the music as well, the genres of the music that he's composed. He is just such a brilliant composer, and I can say this because I'm the producer, but I seriously believe that his music is amazing. It's so, and the lyrics as well that both him and Renee have written are so catchy, and we just can't get them out of our heads.
Yes.
It's just amazing. So can't actually ask for better than that in a musical, can you?
Can you sing your favourite part of the show for me, Shuru?
I'm not allowed to because that's one of the songs that we're not telling you about yet.
Oh, that was a really good way of worming. What was that word you used?
Sliming.
Sliming out.
Slippery.
Slimy now.
Thank you, Richard.
Sorry, my memory doesn't go back more than half an hour, so I can't remember exactly what the word is. Richard realised Cherie was never going to come on the show ever again. It would be really hard to keep the musical interest, because do you have to work within a genre or...?
Yeah, a few different genres as well. Because of the diverse in the age group, so I try to fuse... I try to hopefully keep attract different age of audiences as well. So we have the younger couple, so we'll use some modern music, and then we have the older couple, which will use some 70s, 80s or
90s. Nostalgia kind of thing.
Just to entertain both.
Some hip-hop?
Yeah, there's definitely hip-hop.
Oh. Can you share that?
As in,
are you a rapper?
No, I'm a wannabe.
Can you give us a little bit of a rap stamp?
She's like,
holding a gun under the table.
Not from the show. Have you got another rap, another piece you've written?
No. My first rap song will be in this musical.
Oh, you can't freestyle it for us?
Oh, no, sorry.
Oh, freestyle, because I've just been watching, there's some things, BBC One, my son's got me onto Fire in the Booth, and they get these rappers in, and they just give them a beat, and they freestyle it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can be the beatboxer, and then someone can freestyle.
Georgia?
No. Come on, Sheena.
Don't even look in this direction.
I can see you saying, yep. No? Nice try.
Yo, here we are on the radio show. How's it going? It's going pretty glowy.
I'm so
bad. I'm amazed, though, really, at the way that those minds work. The rappers. And people put down rap music and hip-hop, but the way that it works is just incredible.
Yeah, they basically come out on the spot, isn't it?
Yeah.
That particular show, yeah. They improvise on the spot, yeah. Mm.
And what they talk about, too, the reason I saw it is there was a rapper called Akula who just got interviewed on a talk show about racism. It was a really good piece. And I went to look at his music, and all his music was talking about that issue. It was fantastic.
He's amazing.
I'd never heard him before. Yeah. He was amazing, eh?
Yeah.
He was amazing.
Really smart.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff coming out of England. Like you, Sheena. Why did you leave? Yeah. Were you kicked out? Was your lease up?
Why did you leave England?
I'm not at liberty to say. I'm married a New Zealander.
Oh, sorry. It happens, eh?
We're sent overseas, actually.
To bring people back.
The OE is how we do it. We just go and snare someone and bring them back.
It happens so often, though. It really does. Yeah. Cheru, is that how you ended up here?
No, we ran out of money. Oh. We stay.
Ah, what? And we let you stay.
Well, you didn't let me stay. You let my husband stay because he got the job because he's the engineer. So.
Oh, is he an engineer?
Yeah.
What does he engineer?
He's transport.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you put the drains down and he pulls roads over them.
Yeah, and then he breaks my drain.
Well, Auckland Council are his clients.
But one day we're going to write an engineering the musical.
Why would you not?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So Tim and he have been talking about this at length.
Yeah.
What about the tunnel? That's asking for a musical to be.
That is. The tunnel, the musical.
So we perform in the tunnel. Yeah.
An in-situ performance, promenade, musical.
I heard a rumour, well, I know it to be true, that within the first 24 hours of that tunnel opening for traffic, three people stopped to take selfies.
No.
On a motorway.
Wow.
No.
Can't be.
Yeah. How stupid is that?
Was it you three times?
The first time I thought it was funny. The second time it was. Anyway, back to the arts, people. Mm. So the tunnel, the musical. There are actually musicals written about all sorts of things.
Engineering the musical.
Once Were Warriors the musical. Once Were Warriors the musical. Do you remember that came out?
I remember it coming out. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I remember what people talking about it being... not good.
Yeah, that nobody saw it, I think. There are certain things that shouldn't be musicals, do you think? Or do you think you could actually just pull anything out of the hat? We had a musical, I can't remember the name of it, it's very famous, but it was around mental health issues. And it was a musical, and it seemed to me to trivialise it, but actually it didn't. The lyrics were quite incredible.
And like Rent is amazing.
Yeah, I was just thinking of Rent, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It gives the opportunity to actually not... because musicals... to me, just that's why I kind of have this love-hate relationship, because they seem often to trivialise real things by singing, by bursting into song.
Well, we were talking about it before, I think a good musical the plot is still moving forward during the song, and a bad musical, or one that maybe I don't enjoy so much, is one where the plot just stops and they start singing about the cup of coffee for 5 minutes, and I'm like, oh dear Lord, just please move on.
What about love songs in musicals? Is there a love song?
Yeah, there's definitely a love song. It's a must-have in a musical.
Are they falling in love during the song, or are they talking about
their love?
We can't
tell you that. You'll have to come and see.
Oh,
give us a little clue.
But so answering your question about moving the story ahead, definitely. That's. I don't think I would have been wanted to be involved in it if it wasn't one where there was, because I love theatre so much, that, you know, drama, etc. The fact that it actually, there is a reason. It isn't just burst into song. So.
So do you, are you sold on writing musicals now?
Am I sold?
I mean, you were talking about engineering the musical. I don't know whether you're joking or not.
Oh, I was serious. Yeah.
You're serious?
Very serious, yeah.
Yeah? What can you give us a rough kind of plot line?
I think in the engineering world, it's quite obvious that the engineers and the architects, they don't see eye to eyes, because architects look into the aesthetic point and engineers are more on the practical point. And yeah, so that's a good way to start. And
sounds like a romance.
Oh, hey.
Conflict.
There is romance.
Love it. Yeah.
Right. So the engineer falls in love with the architect, or the other way around, or something.
Or they hate each other.
Yeah,
they
hate. And then fall in love.
It's a love hate, yeah.
Well, that's actually the theme for a lot of musicals. You think about the musical stories, it's often two people who really don't like each other coming together in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Jesus Christ Superstar, he comes together with a cross.
would you class Team America as a musical?
Well, please. No.
There's a song in it.
There is a song in it.
Yeah, but I did see, what was that horrible puppet musical that was supposed to be so radical that it wasn't?
Avenue Q.
Avenue Q. Did you like that?
Yeah. Okay. That is really smart.
Did you not like it?
I found it to be all the hype around it being this progressive, radical, you know, adult.
I actually refused to go and see it.
I went and saw it and went, wow. Oh, it's not actually that interesting. And their level of, you know, anyway.
Okay.
So tell us, Dominion Row the musical opens when?
On the 9th of August. And it's a Wednesday through to Saturday show for 2 weeks. It's at 7:30 in the evening. You can get your tickets on www.dominionroadrdthemusical.nz.
Okay.
Yeah.
Direct booking through there?
Yes.
Okay. And what do people expect? Is it two halves?
It should be around 90 minutes.
90 minutes with an interval?
No
intervals. No intervals?
At the very most, 90.
Yeah, rocking along.
Make it 80.
Yeah. So you need to buy your ice creams. Try to buy your ice creams before you go in.
And pee before you go in as well.
Yeah. Is it polite to leave? Like on the opera. I left the opera once because I really need to pee. And the looks I got going down the aisle in the aisle tear centre were like, I mean, they were
more polite than peeing in your seat, though.
Well, yeah. I know. But what's the protocol in a musical? Can you get up and leave? When everyone's clapping, or is there a time? I just need to know for myself.
Would you leave in the middle of a theatre show?
Yes. If I had to pee, I would.
It's probably never a good time to get up.
No, it's not.
That's probably the answer.
I'd rather not urinate yourself, though.
Yeah. I see myself looking and judging people when they do that.
But I know. And at places like the Basement, when people get up, there's only five of you, and it's really obvious who's leaving.
When you have to walk across the stage.
I found that really difficult when I was an actor and I had to leave to pee, and people got really annoyed with me. It's like, hang on, I'll be back.
Just pause.
And you had to go downstairs.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever had to leave the stage? Have you ever really, really wanted to go leave?
No, because your body goes into
it. No, you're not while performing, but I saw a play once, and it was one of those ones where to get out, you had to go down and sort of kind of across the front of the stage to get out. And it was at the old Maidment. And I was just sitting there, and I was just like, it was building and building. And I was like, I've got to go.
At the Musgrove, probably?
Musgrove, yeah. And I was like, I had to go. And so I finally, when I couldn't wait any longer, I kind of got up and kind of went down the stairs and went out and ran to the bathroom. And when I came back, my friend said, dude, it finished like 30 seconds later.
Oh.
No.
I totally ruined the end of the play for everyone.
But that's the same as when you're driving along somewhere trying to find a road and you stop at the service station to ask and it's the next street.
Yeah.
Has a dastardly effect on you. And so the effect it has on the play, the effect.
Well, we should say when it's on, eh? Because we haven't done that yet.
So August 2nd.
Preview on Tuesday, the 2nd of August.
No, preview on the 1st of August. Opening on the 2nd, which is a Wednesday. Thanks, Sheena.
Sheena's busy that day.
It goes through until, and it goes through until the 12th of August.
Sheena's not available on the
1st. We should tell Ben that you're not coming on the 1st.
We preview on the 1st.
So there'll be the three of us on the 1st, but Sheena won't be there. And
Reed.
So 7:30 at Q Loft, part of the Matchbox season.
Yeah.
So the Matchbox season is that's developmental, isn't it? Well, it's new works essentially, or is it? Because this isn't a new play.
It's just a bundle of plays.
Yeah. So the Matchbox, there's a whole lot of stuff on with you for the Matchbox.
So the first play that was on as part of Matchbox was my dead best friend.
My best dead friend. Yes.
I think so.
By Anya Tate Manning, which is. Close now, eh?
I think finish on Saturday.
And then after us,
it's a season, isn't it?
Yes, basically. It's a season. So there's three productions.
So if they go to Q Theatre, qtheatre.co.nz, or just Q, just Google Q Theatre, it'll come up show you what's going on.
And you can book there as well.
Book through the Q Theatre website.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think that can we hit a little bit of Dominion Road, and we'll just play a little bit of music on the way out of that. I just want to remind everyone with the content that we've talked about this evening, if you are feeling a little bit down, a little bit low, even worse than that, you don't know where to go, you don't know where to turn, call a friend or dial 0800 543 354, which is the Lifeline number, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can go to lifeline.co.nz. There's also Lifeline Aotearoa, Tautoko, 0508 82 88 65, 82 88 65. Just talk to somebody. There's people out there who care, always, isn't there? Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
There's always somebody who's going to listen, eh?
Yep. Yeah, please, talk to someone.
You guys have been fantastic. Thank you so much. Good luck with your first musical.
Thank you very much.
Really excited to I'm really excited to come and see it, which doesn't sound like me.
Yeah, once we close our show, we'll be coming to yours.
Yeah.
And Sheree, thanks again. Once again, Sheree loves hats.
Yep, thank you very much. Just to correct you, it's not actually his first musical, because he won the Short and Sweet musical 2 years ago, or was it 3 years ago, when Bonnie and Amanda did Karaoke Heaven. So, you know, he's done lots of musicals.
Get out of town. You've been keeping this all very quiet.
That's a 10 minutes musical.
Doesn't matter. Do you know what? It's very unusual, Jinbin, to have somebody on the show who's modest.
Oh, okay.
Would that be an accurate?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
People in the arts, eh? Would you agree with that? Oh, sorry, not referring to you guys. I mean, you guys have been very modest this evening.
I think most artists or actors are quite introverted and not
introvert,
forthcoming.
It's more just us being in everything.
Is that us? Sorry. Am I projecting? Is that it?
Possibly.
Good luck with the effect. It looks like a great play. And I hope your study around becoming a counsellor seriously goes well for you.
Thank you. And
you could offer more than just your talented self on the stage and have those conversations with people.
Thank you.
So that's The Effect on at Q Theatre as part of Matchbox, and Dominion Road, the musical, on at the Glen Eden Playhouse. Get along, support the theatre out there, people. And remember, after the show, you can download the show 5 minutes after we go off the air. It's available as a podcast. If you like the show, send it to your friends. If you don't like the show, send it to your enemies. George is looking a bit panicked at the moment.
Sorry, my computer just started making a whirling noise. I thought it was about to start playing Lord of the Rings into the microphone.
Oh, really?
That's a disc in my computer.
Oh, but you've been great tonight, even though your computer's having issues, and it's so lovely to do another show with you. That's two in a row. It's a Worcester record at the moment, isn't it?
We're not very good at both being here at the same time.
Yeah, I phone my pad in sometimes. Been really busy, but hey, great. I hope you had a great week. Have another great week, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us. I've been Richard. That's been Georgia. We've had a great time. We'll be back again next week for an awesome, awesome kick-ass every Sunday, 8 o'clock, remember, not 8:30, 8 o'clock. Go out there this week, guys, and kick some ass. Kick-ass!